And you're listening to Good Morning Scotland with Gary Robertson and Hayley Miller. Now, the future of the Common Agricultural Policy will be decided in Brussels tonight. One of the key points of negotiations has been whether to cap subsidies. Some large landowners receive over £1 million of taxpayers' money a year. So who are these big landowners in Scotland and why do they receive such big subsidies at all? I'm joined by Andy Whiteman, author of Who Owns Scotland. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Andy, who are the big landowners here then?
Well, they're a mixture of the traditional aristocracy, the Earl of Murray and Duke of Buccleuch and people like that, but also some very large farm businesses that have emerged over the last 10 years.
And, of course, one of the controversial aspects of possible changes to the cap now will be to limit the subsidies paid out to these, you know, the biggest farms.
That's right. I mean, there's been concern right across Europe that far too much of the subsidy is going to very large farmers, many of whom, of course, indeed, almost all of them don't really need it. 75% of the European agricultural subsidies across Europe go to a mere 16% of farmers. And in Scotland, half the total pot goes to less than 10%.
If they were faced with a rising scale of tax on their subsidies, would it make much difference to them?
Well, not really, because the fact is that the Scottish farms are very, very large. 75% of Scottish agricultural land is held in holdings of over 1,000 acres. And when you're receiving subsidies of hundreds of thousands of pounds a year, having a cut of 10 or 20 or 30% is not going to make a great deal of difference to those businesses.
And there must be a number of smaller farms, though, to whom it would make a bigger difference to if there was a way of rebalancing so that smaller farmers could get a better share.
Well, it depends where they impose this cap, how much flexibility is given to the Scottish Government to determine this, how quickly it's phased in. You know, a lot is yet to be determined. And if you have a cap as being proposed by the Parliament and the Council of Ministers of €300,000, that's £250,000. So it doesn't really affect a very radical redistribution. I would much rather see a cap much, much lower. And of course, you're right, there are many thousands of farmers getting very, very small amounts of money. I mean, the lowest gets a penny, which is a bit ridiculous.
And there seems to be quite a lot of, you could describe it as unfairness in the system. There's the historical payment as well, where sometimes the payment is made to someone who'd farmed land, I don't know, maybe a decade earlier, rather than new entrants who are actually farming the land at that point in time.
Yes, that's going to be one of the biggest changes, that agricultural subsidy is going to be based in future on area, which I think is still problematic, but certainly on actual active farming. And there is going to be funds available for new people to enter agriculture. That's been one of the biggest deficiencies, is there are young farmers, there are new farmers who've entered agriculture in the last 10 years who are actually farming profitably with no agricultural subsidy whatsoever. And that's quite telling.
And so does that mean that the historical payment will stop then, that you won't get any payment unless you are farming?
Well, it's not quite clear yet. I mean, there's a suggestion that there'll have to be a phasing in of the new system. So in a sense, the historic entitlement, as it's called, will remain until the end of the period of phasing in. And if that period is 5 or 6 years, then it's going to leave a lot of the beneficiaries of the system, you know, relatively unscathed.
And will that ultimately fall to the Scottish Government to implement that?
It depends if the cap is mandatory, for example, which it looks like it probably will be. But then questions about how it's phased in and who qualifies for the new system and how much money is assigned for new entrants, that is all, I believe, going to be left to member states and within the UK to devolved governments to determine.
So then in that case, the time scale would also be determined by the government here.
Yeah, there's a lot to watch on how the Scottish Government decide to implement whatever's agreed in Brussels tonight.
OK, thank you very much for speaking to us about it this morning. Andy Whiteman, who is the author of Who Owns Scotland?